Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad you worship with us this morning. And if it is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. And in order to help the staff team to plan more accurately for the reopening, we have conducted an online survey among our Oikos members a few weeks ago. And based on the responses we have received so far, it seems that many of us are not really ready to return to in-person English worship in October. So after further discussion, the pastoral team has made the following decision. We will delay the English worship reopening until 2022. And meanwhile, we will continue to offer online English worship at 9:15 a.m. again on every Saturday. As for candidates' service, there's no change in the reopening date. Starting October 2nd, the candidates' congregation will be gathering in person 10:45 a.m. every Saturday morning at Fraserville MB Church on Mellis Drive at Richmond, which is at the intersection of No. 5 and Canby. As we prepare ourselves to praise God and receive His Word, let me invite you to stand. Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faint, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a net for herself, where she may lay her young at your altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Church, let's continue to worship the Lord together.
The God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. And we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Come on. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. The house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today.
And we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place.
And we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hands. Jesus, there is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms a storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus,
who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside.
Jesus.
We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can break through, no mountain you can move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won.
Chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Come awaken your people, come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. People, come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city.
Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
God, we praise you because you're the light in the darkness. You're the healer to those who are sick. You're the father to the fatherless. You're the helper of the oppressed. You're the comforter of those who are depressed. And God, we ask in this world that your kingdom will come, that you will revive your people, that you will raise up your church, and you will bring your kingdom and your will to be done, not only here, but also all around the world. Because God, we need you to come. We need your rule. We need your reign. We need your kingdom. We need the light. We need the healer. We need the comforter. We need the hope. We need the peace. And so God, we pray your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, all the earth, as it is in heaven. And we pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, please be seated.
When I was in elementary school, I think it was grade 5, there was a boy in my class who had a speech impediment. Other kids would tease him and pick on him. I felt really bad for this kid, and I could actually relate because just a few years earlier, I had experienced the same thing myself. One day at recess, I saw this boy with a speech impediment standing against a wall, and other kids were throwing rocks at him. I was horrified at this sight of brutal violence. This poor kid was being bullied, abused, and rejected. I'm sure he felt hurt not only physically by the rocks, but also emotionally by how he was being treated. I was a little scared that I might get hurt too, but I decided to intervene. I told the kids to stop throwing rocks at this boy, and I got him out of there. We all have different experiences in life, but there's often common threads. I've never had rocks thrown at me, but I have been bullied and rejected. I've been called derogatory names. I've had long seasons of feeling all alone. I've also made mistakes, sometimes big ones, that have hurt other people. There have been times in my life where I have felt like I'm just a screw up who can't do anything right. How about you? Have you ever felt like an outsider? Have you felt despised or rejected by others? Have you maybe done something that hurt another person? Maybe you feel stuck in life with no way forward. I'm sure that's how this man named Zacchaeus felt, whom we read about in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Listen now to the reading of Holy Scripture. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Before exploring this passage of Scripture, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your friendship that we see in this story of Zacchaeus. And Lord, we ask that you help us to receive your grace and friendship in our lives as well. Speak to us today. Amen. This is the second sermon in a series called Reversal, looking at stories of lives turned around. This is an important theme throughout the Bible. The Lord is the God of grace who brings great reversals in our lives. With Jesus, there is always another chance for a renewed life. So today, we're looking at the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. How do you feel about taxes? Most people hate taxes. No one enjoys having money taken off of their paychecks or having taxes added on to a purchase you're trying to make. And dealing with taxes can also be very time-consuming. Every time I file my income taxes, I stay up late at night feeling stressed. Just the other day, I received a letter from the Canada Revenue Agency. And when I opened the letter, my heart sank because they were auditing my income tax. They asked me to resubmit some information proving that what I claimed was correct. This just felt like a big hassle in my already busy schedule. I also always get a little nervous that the CRA is going to say that I owe the government a large sum of money for some reason. I don't know why. I have that nagging feeling sometimes. However, in our country, we can at least be grateful that tax collected gets used for the benefit of all people. Even if we sometimes have negative feelings around taxes, they go towards good things. Taxes pay for schools, roads, libraries, healthcare, financial assistance, and so much more. We all benefit from taxes, and it's a relatively fair system. But that was not the case in the ancient world. Zacchaeus was part of an unjust taxation system. The Roman Empire had taken over Israel, and the Israelites had to pay taxes to their Roman overlords. The ordinary people didn't benefit at all from the taxes like we do in Canada. The Roman rulers simply got wealthy off the backs of their subjects. So Zacchaeus was a Jew working for the Roman government. He was betraying his own people. Tax collectors had to pay the Romans for the right to collect taxes, and then they would charge the people extra money in order to gain wealth for themselves. I saw a picture of what this might have been like in the movie White Tiger, which takes place in India. It's a little different, but it shows what the injustice might have been like. The movie begins in a small village slum where all the people are just barely surviving. The kids are barefoot because they can't afford shoes, and sometimes the kids couldn't go to school because they had to work to help the family earn enough money just to eat. Then into that poor village rolls a fancy car. Some tough-looking men come out of the car, and there's this look of fear on the faces of all the villagers. These men are the landlords of the village. They own the land, and they come to collect money. The villagers start lining up to pay them, and if they don't, they get beat up. Later in the movie, we see where the landlords live. They have these massive luxury mansions, expensive cars, designer clothes, and hired servants who do their bidding. These landlords have gotten wealthy on the backs of the poor people in the village. It's despicable. And that is a picture of what being a tax collector was like in the ancient world. Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector. So the people resented him. They felt cheated by him. They despised him. Most likely, Zacchaeus had a tough exterior. Anyone who's going to cheat other people and live with themselves needs to be a little desensitized and full of pride. But I wonder what Zacchaeus felt deep down. Did he regret becoming a tax collector? When he looked into the eyes of the poor people he took money from, did he feel guilty? Late at night when he was trying to fall asleep, did he feel ashamed of who he had become? Did he fear God's judgment, worrying that one day he would get what he deserves, punishment for his sin? Had he lost all hope of turning his life around? How would you feel? How do you feel? Are you carrying guilt about something you have done? Are you feeling ashamed of who you have become? From my teens into my 20s, I got caught up in some things I shouldn't have been doing. I lived with a lot of guilt and shame, and I felt like I couldn't talk about it. I kept my sin a secret, and it ate away at me. And the secrecy kept me in bondage to sin. I felt like I was living a double life, like I was a hypocrite. I felt all alone. I also feared God's judgment, but maybe even more, I feared the judgment of others. I wish I had opened up and confessed earlier. Because when I finally did, when I exposed my sin and confessed it to someone I trusted, it wasn't judgment I received. I experienced freedom like never before. I experienced love and grace. If you feel stuck, if you are carrying something, if you are struggling with something, I encourage you to talk about it with someone. You don't need to be in this alone. Others can help you experience freedom, love, and grace. Nothing you have done is unforgivable. With Jesus, there is always another chance for a renewed life. Maybe you feel far from God, but God is coming close to you. And let me also encourage everyone to be loving and gracious, extending the love and grace of God to each other. Be the kind of person someone would want to confess to. Don't cause fear of judgment. Rather, be a safe person. Be someone they can trust. We don't know everything that was going on for Zacchaeus, but what we do know is that there was something about Jesus that caught his attention. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But since he was too short, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he decided to run ahead and climb up a sycamore fig tree. I'm not sure if you know what that is. It's a little different from a typical fig tree where we get the figs that we might eat. But a sycamore is massive. It gets up to 60 feet high. But it also has some low-lying branches. So this is kind of ideal for a short man trying to get a better view. He could climb up those low-lying branches and reach a height where he could see Jesus. Zacchaeus went out of his way to see who it was that was drawing a crowd. He put in some effort to see Jesus. I've often been impressed by people who are seeking. Sometimes they don't know fully what they're seeking or who they're seeking, but they're on a spiritual quest. I know some people who have come to church regularly and even joined a small group Bible study, but they haven't yet committed to a life of following Jesus. That's quite a bit of effort. They're going out of their way to try to catch a glimpse of Jesus from among the crowd. It is my hope and prayer that the church can be different from this crowd in Jericho. I hope that we won't get in the way of someone who's trying to see Jesus. I pray that we can make it easier, that someone won't have to run ahead and climb up a tree just to catch sight of Jesus. It's my desire that someone looking for Jesus won't feel judged like Zacchaeus did. So what can you do to make space for someone who is looking to find out who Jesus is? I encourage you to think about that and to actively help others encounter Jesus, being careful to not get in the way. But what we see is that even when crowds get in the way of someone who wants to see Jesus, that doesn't stop Jesus from reaching someone. Perhaps right at the moment when you feel farthest from God, God is coming closer than ever. Ultimately, it is not us who seeks Jesus. It is Jesus who seeks us. When Jesus reached the tree that Zacchaeus had climbed up, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down here. I want to come over to your house today." So Zacchaeus came down right away, and he was just pumped to welcome Jesus as a guest. Jesus initiated friendship with Zacchaeus. He invited himself over, and he did it in a pretty bold way. Jesus didn't say, "Could I please come over if it might not inconvenience you too much, if it's not too much trouble?" Jesus said, I must stay at your house. Have you ever invited yourself over to a stranger's house before? I bet not. It's a pretty strange thing to do, at least in Canada, but even in ancient Middle Eastern culture where hospitality was highly valued, this was still a pretty bold move for Jesus to make. But it was what was needed. Zacchaeus was all alone, despised by all the people. Jesus truly saw him. He looked beneath his tough exterior and saw a broken, lonely, hopeless man full of guilt and shame. Jesus saw him, extended a hand, and offered friendship. The moment you feel farthest from God is the moment that God comes closer than ever. Jesus seeks us. Unfortunately, not everyone is as gracious as Jesus. When the crowd saw that Jesus was befriending Zacchaeus, they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Jesus took a risk in associating with a tax collector. There were social ramifications for Jesus. And we too face these risks. Offering friendship can be risky. When we extend friendship to people who are unpopular and disliked, others might judge us for it. Are you willing to take that risk? Will you follow Jesus in welcoming those who get left out? Will you be a friend to to the friendless. This isn't easy. Following Jesus includes some things that complicate our lives. It can be difficult and awkward to offer friendship to those who are despised. There is a Mennonite program called Circles of Support. What they do is have a group of people come around individuals with a history of committing sexual offenses. They offer community, support, and accountability in order to help former convicts reintegrate into society and lead safe, responsible, and accountable lives. It must be incredibly challenging to associate with someone who has caused so much hurt in people's lives so deeply, someone who is at risk of causing more harm, someone who is despised by many and so deeply broken themselves. But these circles of support are following the way of Jesus, and lives are being impacted through this process. I read about one man who had lived a life of crime for 45 years. He was in and out of prisons with no hope for change in his life. But then he got connected to circles of support. Here is what he said about his experience. Moira and Tom never gave up on me. I'm stubborn, I'm jackheaded, I really frustrated Moira, but she stuck right beside me. You'd never believe the stuff I put her through, but she never quit. We got to understand each other. We got to be real good friends. And it was them who helped me most of the way. They guided me, and I took their guidance. Circles of Support is a very good program, and these boys coming out of prison need it. It gives them hope of a new future without crime. It's when you first come out of prison that people are all alone too much. They start thinking ugly thoughts. The more they think the ugly thoughts and no one's there to help them out of it, the more the tendency is to do it. Nobody loves me, nobody cares, let's do it. I was one of the hardcore criminals. No one could break me. No one could. Circles of Support could. It didn't break me. It helped me. Circles of Support reflects the love and grace of Christ to ex-convicts. With Jesus, there is always another chance for a renewed life. If Jesus befriends tax collectors and sinners of all kinds, he certainly offers friendship to you. Jesus is inviting himself over to your house. Will you welcome him in? In Jesus' presence, Zacchaeus was changed. His heart was transformed. As he received a renewed relationship with God, he sought to right the wrongs that he had done to others. Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus experienced a reversal in his life. No longer would he make himself rich by cheating others. Instead, he was going to pay back those he cheated, and he would begin to practice generosity. With Jesus in his life, Zacchaeus was becoming a new man. He was being transformed from a sinner into a saint. And Jesus can transform our lives as well. With Jesus, there is always another chance for a renewed life. How do we respond to this good news? First, we allow Jesus into the dark parts of our lives. If there is some sort of secret you have been hiding, bring it into the light. Come out of hiding and confess all that you have done wrong. This takes courage. So pray that God would help you to speak the truth and to face the reality and all the consequences of all that you have done. While we can confess to God directly in prayer, many people have found that it is more transformative to confess our sins to another person. This is more concrete. When you confess to another person, it requires speaking out loud what has been hidden in your heart. It involves looking into the eyes of someone as you expose your sin. And it changes your reality from being all alone in your guilt and shame to being with someone in freedom, love, and forgiveness. So I encourage you to confess to another person, but be discerning in who you choose to confess to. Find someone you can trust to share openly about the dark parts of your life. Someone who isn't going to judge you, isn't going to gossip about you, and someone who is not going to take your confession lightly. Someone who's going to take it seriously. This might be a friend or a family member. It might be someone you know and trust from church, or maybe a pastor. You might be nervous to do this, but I bet you'll be surprised at the grace you receive. And at the very least, you will experience the freedom of living in the truth, which is always the right thing to do. This is the beginning of a renewed life. Secondly, seek to make right what you have done wrong. If you have hurt others, seek to reconcile with them. Follow up with them about what happened. Have a conversation. Begin by acknowledging the pain you have caused. Recognize the damage you have done and empathize with the person you have hurt. Take responsibility for your actions. Don't be defensive or make excuses for what you have done. Rather, own your behavior and the choices you have made. This takes humility. If you're anything like me, you might be tempted to justify your actions or minimize the wrongs you have done, but that doesn't help. We need to face the reality and accept our own sinfulness. When we acknowledge the pain we have caused, we begin to repair the relationship. Next, express regret for the choices you have made. Apologize and talk about how you wish you hadn't done what you did, how you wish you didn't cause all this pain. Ask for forgiveness, knowing that it might take time to rebuild trust. So don't rush the process. Be patient. Commit to making different choices and doing the right thing in the future. In other words, commit to repentance, to making a change. And in whatever way possible, see if you can make restitution. That is the act of trying to make things right, like when Zacchaeus paid back 4 times the amount what he cheated from people. Restitution is difficult, and sometimes it's impossible. You can't always fix the damage that's been done. But at least trying to make things right shows the sincerity of your remorse and your repentance. So we respond to the good news that there is always another chance for a renewed life with Jesus. First, by allowing Jesus into the dark parts of our lives. Second, by seeking to make right the wrongs we have done. And lastly, by joining Jesus in befriending the rejected. You might not go as extreme as circles of support who befriend former convicts, although you might consider that option. But I encourage you to ask God to open your eyes to those around you who are despised and rejected. Maybe like the story I shared of a boy at school being bullied, maybe you know someone who is being picked on. How might you come alongside this person? Or maybe you have a colleague that doesn't fit in. Could you connect with them and maybe eat lunch together? Think and pray about how you might display the love and grace of Christ to those around you. You can help others experience the reality that with Jesus, there is always another chance for a renewed life. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you see us. Like when you looked up at Zacchaeus in the sycamore fig tree, you look at us and you invite yourself over to our house. You invite yourself into our lives. And if there's anyone listening to this right now who hasn't yet accepted the love and grace of Christ, but who is feeling drawn to Jesus now, I invite you to begin a relationship with him today. I invite you to pray with me. You can repeat after me. Jesus, thank you that you see me. Thank you that you want a relationship with me. I want a relationship with you, Jesus. Please forgive me for the wrongs I have done in my life. Change my heart. Transform me. I receive your gift of a new life with you. I choose to follow you. Amen. If you are beginning a new life with Jesus, I encourage you to tell someone. You are not in this alone. The church is here to come alongside you and help you grow in your new life with Jesus. So now, everyone, at this point, I invite you to stand and join in singing the response song.
Was born with
Oh, come to the altar, all you are, who are hurting, broken, and overwhelmed. Jesus is calling and inviting you to entrust your life in His hands. And God's arms are open wide to accept you. Jesus, today I want to pray for those who are just as the song described. They're feeling hurt, broken, or overwhelmed. I pray for their hearts to open and receive your grace and love. And I pray for their ears to be opened to hear your truth and hear your word. Because the promise from you is this, that all who ask, seek, and knock will find and be answered. And so may all who are seeking you find you. And I pray that you fill their lives with your presence. I also want to pray for those who had already begun a relationship with you, but maybe felt too overwhelmed by the things in life that they've forgotten. This invitation is also extended to them. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. He is calling. So I pray that the love of God and the truth of His word help you experience the reversal that Jesus will bring to your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As you go from here, remember that Jesus sees you and is calling you by name. Jesus is inviting Himself over to your house. Nothing you have done is unforgivable. With Jesus, there is always another chance for a renewed life. Go in peace.